It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live on 106.7 The Fan in and around D.C. on AM 910 and FM 105.1 in and around Richmond. On the Odyssey app, wherever you are, and streaming live on video on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page, we're Grant and Danny. Thank you for making the show part of your day. As is the case with the local club's defense, there are times in life where we see loved ones struggle, especially as they get older. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm, Condori and Murad, can guide you through the process of managing a health care, financial power of attorney, securing a guardianship if need be for a family member. Schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you so that they can give you a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Thanks to Toby for the update. I heard John Walton's call there of Jake Vrana's goal last night.
So cool, man.
First off, excellent call, Johnny. Second, welcome back, V. What a story that is. He's gone through a lot in his career, in his personal life, and for his first game back in front of the faithful who love him as a cup hero, on his first shot, I think his first shift, but one of the first couple, if not, scores a goal last night to get the Caps going. They had a great game. They got a win. We'll talk about it in the Blitz. But sports, man.
Yep.
They're the best.
Just so cool. I loved it. Thrilled for him. I mean, how cool must that feel, right? Where it was all taken away from you, uphill climb just to make the club. You get your sweater, get your home debut, and you go top roof right there on the, at may have been his first shift, as you said. Just really, really cool, dude. That was a nice moment. Good for the Caps to get a dub, by the way.
Yeah, they needed to get their first 2 points of the season. It happened in game two. Let's welcome onto the show Sean Saeed, who works over at Sumer Sports. He is part of their stats and scheme presentation, does a really good job breaking down the film of all things NFL, and we wanted to dive in to his analysis. I enjoy his work. To talk about what Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels and this offense have done so well through six games. Sean, you're on in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Thanks for the time, buddy. How are you?
Of course, I'm doing well. I really appreciate you having me on. You know, before the season, you think about what are the things you think are going to be big storylines before everything, and to see it be Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury working together is really, really cool.
Well, it's cooler for us, I will tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're having fun, Sean.
We have been waiting for a long, long time for some quarterback play like this. But why don't we just start with, speaking of before the season, what was your take on Kingsbury as a hire, as a fit with Daniels, and his time studying him in Arizona? And then how does that juxtapose with how you're feeling right now? Because, man, so far have I been impressed and wrong and thrilled about what he's done.
Yeah, I think going in, you know, was I the most excited person on earth about the Cliff Kingsbury hire? I was not. I think there are some fair critiques of how his offenses have kind of played in different ways in a more modern NFL, whether it's using things where, you know, receivers staying on the side too often and you're not able to, you know, create plays in different ways. But I think we've seen so early on, you know, just after a few weeks, Kingsbury really has grown and has really, you know, done different things on offense, whether it's you use different personnel, you know, you bring some tight ends out on the field and you force the defense into a choice. Are you going to really play heavy against the run, or are you going to, you know, roll the dice with Jaden Daniels? So I think the combination early on is so much further ahead of what I expected. Now, we do have a rest of the season to kind of go through and see how things are, but like, they're working together. And I think that alone is fun. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, I'm sure you guys are having more fun than me going through such a long stretch, but absolutely just so many signs to be encouraged where you're getting high play from Jaden Daniels, but also I'm seeing on film week after week, like, hey, this is a nice design. You know, this is a good way to attack the defense, where sometimes, you know, that was lacking a little bit on some of that Cardinals film.
Yeah, so they're going no huddle a ton, Sean, and it's not like no huddle like you think of. It's not like the Bills in the 90s or something like that, but they don't let you substitute in a lot of ways. They try to keep the same group on the field and kind of exploiting some of those matchup decisions that you were talking about there. Go into what that's doing for them.
Yeah, I love no huddle that is used in different ways, because like you mentioned, you know, it's not just, hey, we get to the line as fast as possible and snap the ball and just kind of keep things moving. You can get to the line quick and then slow down after that. And I think that the way that Kingsbury is manipulating defenses, it goes back to how he's using his personnel. So you get some, like, these two tight end looks on the field, the defense is probably going to use one of their heavier groupings, probably more linebackers on the field, but they can get to a lot of their pass concepts out of that. So if they can, you know, secure that, because they've been successful on early downs running the ball really outside of that Ravens game. If a defense has to respect that run game, now they're going to get their base personnel, and that's when I think a lot of the fun can happen, where now you spread things out from that heavier look or get to some of your pass concepts from formations that, you know, a team might look at that and say, hey, this is probably going to be a run, but now you're able to kind of break that tendency.
So one of the – I'll give you the couple of things that I was really worried about from his Arizona days, and this is less my own takes as much as when I ask coaches around the league that I know, or certainly analysts – who study this, that they say this just doesn't work at a high rate. The idea that he doesn't move his top receivers around seemed like it was a death sentence. And the lack of motion in the offense, which all good offenses have at a high rate, seemed problematic. Is he doing more of those things, or has he found ways to mask what appears to be deficiencies in how he did it in the past?
You're still going to see Terry McLaurin really kind of locked on to some of those kind of outside vertical routes. So I don't think that, like, as a philosophical point, is really shifting for Cliff. I do think that the ways that he used motion, for example, against Baltimore, like, he has, you know, a clear, you know, an idea of how to use it. So I think that you're getting some success there, where some of these individual designs are maybe what you're seeing is more positive, whether it's, you know, like, it looks like they're running counter, but it looks like they're throwing a screen, but now you're getting a kind of player going inside on the screen. Or, of course, you get that kind of flea flicker quick screen as well to be able to create an explosive play. So I think those criticisms, you know, you should continue to hold them a little bit. Like, we want to see him able to have a full season, or you get into that back half of the year when teams are going to attack you in different ways in your offense. You know, you have to find some different answers. But, you know, guys, it really helps when you have Jaden Daniels able to kind of erase some of those issues.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it's been a marriage made in heaven, because Daniels is making him better. He's making Daniels better. I saw some data last night that he's, I think, top three in terms of throwing to his first read, and he has the highest EPA per play when throwing to his first read. So they're making life a little bit easier for Jaden Daniels, which is the job of the coordinator as well. Sean Saeed is with us, X's and O's for Sumer Sports, joining us here on Grant and Danny. Going back to you, you just mentioned the flea flicker screen. There was a play right after that I had not seen before, where they kind of had this big bubble-looking developing screen to Eckler, and then De'Ami Brown comes downhill hard into a tunnel screen on the same play, and everyone was kind of moving toward the sideline, and he hits them coming back toward the middle of the field. It was just, like, awesome stuff. I guess, has Kingsbury always had really creative trick play or just different concepts? And then, B, how many other teams use some of the alignments they are? They're doing some really cool stuff with, like, 4-by-1 and how they're actually lining guys up that I haven't seen a lot of. Is it unique to them, or is that happening all over the league?
It is certainly unique to them. You know, when you look at what just the formations look like, you're not seeing those in other places. I think part of that is because, you know, you have Jaden Daniels in the pistol, and then, you know, you'll see teams just be in the pistol, so, like, you're kind of, you know, a few yards off the center, you have a running back behind you. But I think what they're doing well is you have, like, one tight end to his side. You have a second tight end to his other side. Sometimes you have two tight ends to the same side, kind of in a shout-out to, like, the go-go offense that you'll see UNLV running in college. So I do think that he has found good ways to take some of these kind of, like, high-level college ideas And you're using that now as window dressing. It's not just like your whole offense is based out of, your whole concept is based out of that, but you're using that as kind of your unique way to leverage your personnel to force the defense into certain looks. And then you're running like the kind of same concept that other teams are running in your pass game. So I really like that blend where it feels like that has been a little bit more cohesive. And then, like you mentioned, like that kind of fake swing, kind of tunnel screen, like that, he clearly was paying attention when he was at USC. You know, you get a few just like even more creative designs where some of the creativity, I think, in Arizona, it like felt maybe a little too college-y. And I hate to use that because I don't want it to feel like an insult because, like, I love watching college football. It's so creative. You're going to get so many good ideas from there. But now it feels like he's tying those ideas to, like, a real, real NFL offense that I feel like is going to be sustainable from, like, a conceptual level.
So, Sean, I want to get into one thing here about this offense. And this is not a complaint, just an observation. You mentioned Baltimore they played this past week, Cleveland the week before. I actually think both defenses are pretty good, even though you could have fooled me with what Washington did to the Browns, especially as kind of the game progressed. But they seem to have a key or figured out something about Washington's design Jaden Daniels runs, right? They love to run to the right. I think of the week before, they scored that touchdown kind of student body right out of the pistol where Daniels just sort of jogged in untouched with a cadre of lead blockers in front of him. They ran similar plays, if not the same play, and Baltimore had an answer for it, you know, stuffed him for like a negative one or zero. Cleveland did the same thing. I feel like maybe some of that has been solved a little bit. And I'm just sort of wondering if that's either, A, if you noticed that, but B, is that maybe pulling on a thread that they're starting to catch on to some of the other stuff too?
I do think that something is to be said, like when you have Kyle Hamilton on the outside as a player to kind of deal with Jaden Daniels, like that makes life a little bit easier for a defense. And the quarterback run game is really hard. Like when you think of in division where Jalen Hurts, you know, when they run zone read, he's going around the outside. Like he's not really just able to create tons of yards that way. So, and like at a high level, the NFL has found so many ways to deal with the zone read where it's like you have the defensive end crashing down and now my linebacker is going to go over the top. I think I do want to see, you know, Kingsbury, what is your next step from that? Like, how can you kind of tie your looks as if Jaden Daniels is going to keep it? Now, how do we get kind of a pass off of that? So I do think that's a smart thread to look at where in this game, I mean, against the Ravens, the run game had a lot of issues. And even then, I think the reason why I'm most encouraged about this offense is because Daniels was able to keep things moving when the run game was not just totally on schedule. But I do think, you know, it's going to be on Kingsbury to find ways to be creative where, you know, even if some of those quarterback keepers aren't able to have success, like what are you tying in off of that?
And that's where I was going to go. Sean Sayed of Sumer Sports with us here on G&D. I almost wonder if you're still showing it because you've got a counter. If you've got something else later on, you've got to kind of keep, you know, beating your head against the wall. Do you think Cliff is playing that kind of level of 3D chess there, Sean?
I mean, I hope so. I hope there's some sort, whether it's just like an RPO where you're having, you know, like an inside receiver kind of releasing on a vertical route and now you're kind of connecting in that way. But I do think Daniels in the run game is so, so positive. And if you're able to, you know, even if Daniels doesn't have a ton of yards a game, as long as like a linebacker just has to wait like an extra second, you know, if you can just hold on to that player and have the threat of the run, that is so impactful because you can have Eckler running downhill. When Brian Robinson comes back, you can have him running just straight downhill at people and doing a good job breaking tackles. So even if you don't see Daniels just continuing to succeed on the outside, the threat of him and the presence of him, it has such a positive impact on your running backs, and it makes your offensive line job just a little bit easier.
Sumer Sports, Sean Sayed with us on Grant and Danny. He watches the film, very smart football gentleman. What about their run game non-Daniel specific and what they've been able to get? Now, last week, Brian Robinson was out. They took on the best run defense in the league in the Ravens, and the well dried up. But, man, have they been good on the ground with Austin Eckler and the way they've used him. When they plug in Jeremy McNichols, they don't miss a beat. What are you seeing from what Cliff's doing in the run game with his backs?
I think the run game has been very creative. And that was something I think going into the season, I wasn't sure exactly how it would play out. But they're going to run a ton of concepts. And they do a good job with their formations where you're going to see, you know, two receivers out to one side, two tight ends out to the other side. So now the defense can't just play it even. Like they have to, you know, are you going to move a cornerback in a different direction? Or your cornerback is the edge of your defense. And now we're just going to go ahead and attack him. And in a league that defenses want to play lighter in the box, they want to have four down linemen, they want to have two linebackers, they want to be able to play those defenses that are a little bit more kind of pass coverage heavy. So if you're able to be physical in the run game, that is such a plus. Like we think about some of the best teams in the league, like the Lions offense, where they're just running teams over. the Commanders do have a little bit of that in them from the design perspective, but also their offensive line, I think, has impressed me, where that's another part of this unit. We're going into the season. I was not going to pretend like, oh, yeah, this offensive line is going to be like a plus unit, but they've, I think, meshed pretty well together, even while rotating some guys. So I think from a design perspective, you're a little bit unique in terms of what other teams across the league are doing. You're physical. You're attacking defenses at them. And now you have, again, Daniels on the outside, where even if he's not keeping the ball, it's enough that people have to just play a little bit slower. Now you got Brian Robinson running downhill.
Is there somebody that you've kind of got circled here? The highlight guys, Sean, we know. I mean, Robinson has been so good, sort of thumping. Austin Eckler per touch has been great in this offense. You know, McLaurin's grinding out those yards too. When you watch this offense go, is there somebody you go, the second half of the year or at some point in the not-too-distant future, a breakout is coming or one of these big performances is coming? Do you see something like that from this offense, or is it going to be a different guy every week?
Yeah, it does feel like you're going to get guys kind of in different situations. Robinson's been just such an awesome thing kind of going forward. You know, I'm falling in love with Sam Cosby. Like, I really love watching him play football. I think Tyler Biadasz is – obviously, he had some success in Dallas and being able to play in that direction. So I feel like, you know, let's focus on that interior offensive line. I think that's a situation where that can sustain you kind of game after game, where even though, you know, you have outside the top receiver out there, like, I do really like Noah Brown on the outside, but for me, like, my heart is stuck in that offensive line. I think what they're doing up front.
Sean Saeed is with us from Sumer Sports. Grant and Danny on the Fan, couple of moments left with a very smart X's and O's analyst. I want to dive in on the rest of the way. So far, A pluses for Daniels, for Kingsbury. You referenced, though, something Danny and I have brought up, which is in Arizona, they got off to some amazing starts and kind of ran into a wall. Are there any areas we should be monitoring, things we should consider, like what happened in the past? I keep saying, though, Kingsbury never had Daniels, who makes you right a lot more often, and it seems like maybe they're going to be okay. But what's your thought on sustaining this and not hitting that same wall?
Yeah, the games I really have circled are the Bears in 2 weeks, and then you get the Steelers in week 10, where I'm in that week 8 game to see the Eagles and the Bengals get bumped out of that kind of better slot for Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams is very fun, but that's a separate thing. I was really curious in this Ravens game, when you're playing against a top-end defense or really like a modern kind of push you around in different ways defense that is able to stop your run game, what do things look like? And for Daniels to really pass the test here, where thinking about that drive kind of going into halftime, you're able to get success, that feels like it's a player-level thing. So even if, you know, there are times when it's like, hey, there's no open receivers here, you're still able to kind of scramble around a little bit. You know, thinking of that play where Daniels is going to his right, Kyle Hamilton smacks him, but you're still able to get that throw. So you hope that Daniels is able to kind of clear some of those hurdles. But, you know, you pass his first test. I don't want to be the moral victory guy. It's easier for me. You know, I'm not living down there or up there and have to see it and feel it every single day. But you showed so much in that Baltimore game that makes me feel a little bit better. I just want to continue to see situations where Jaden is getting to his second read, he's getting to his third read, and he's shown that on the film. Actually, really against Arizona, he showed it a bunch. But just having concepts where, you know, it's not just, hey, we're like, it's a one throw and go sort of situation. So I think that is really, you know, to be seen, and just situations where Jaden has to work later into the down, and, you know, you're going to be forced to stay in the pocket, which I've loved what I've seen from him so far this season. I want to make sure we continue to see that going through the rest of the season. And hey, you know, after a certain while, you're just going to be competing for the NFC East.
Sean, great convo, man. Appreciate the time today.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That was fantastic. Really, really good information on Washington's fantastic offense. I mean, they have been stellar with the football, and ideally, that's not going to slow down against Carolina this weekend.
They're not the team that I'd have circled as the one that's going to be the Washington buster.
I do think that they do present some problems. Like, they flustered the Falcons early. Eventually, Atlanta just started pounding the ball on them and setting up play action.
Bijan Robinson wasn't touched for the first 5-6 yards per run for a while. You know what I mean? Like, comfortable.
But the first series or two of that game, I think they did some pretty good things, especially mm-hmm. in the passing game, getting to Cousins and kind of flustering Atlanta. They've got a D coordinator who gets head coaching interviews every year. They've got some decent players on that side of the ball. Let's go around the NFL next. Want to key on the Steelers. Are they making a mistake if they make a quarterback change? Also, one of the top fantasy receivers to start the season is having knee surgery. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yankees beat the Guardians for the second time in two games in the ALCS last night. Juan Soto got intentionally walked so that the Guardians could face Aaron Judge. The level of respect for Juan Soto, ladies and gentlemen. You're one of the greatest hitters of all time when that happens. No, he already was one of the greatest hitters of all time. One of the toughest outs of his era. But this is a guy, Danny, and Judge, who led Major League Baseball, led the league in 58 homers, 144 batted in, 133 walks, 458 on base, 701 slug, 1159 ops, 223 ops plus, 392 total bases, 20 intentional walks, among other categories.
Ho-hum.
They said, not Juan Soto. Not right now. He's seeing it too well, and Judge isn't. Let's face Judge. Later in the game, by the way, he did hit a home run. Yankees 2, Guardians 0. We are on to the National League Championship Series, which is 1-1. Game number 3 tonight between the Dodgers and the Mets to be played at Citi Field. Series shifting to the East Coast here.
That environment's going to be probably very calm and reasonable and rational. Won't be anybody going ham. But yeah, the Yankees are going to the World Series. That was a pretty jarring moment because, listen, right now, Aaron Judge hadn't been seeing it great. Maybe this is what gets him going and propels them to that World Series. But yeah, he'd been swinging and missing a bunch. Just hadn't been, you know, hadn't been hitting real well. But you know, last night he jolts one out of there. But just as you said, a reminder to what the world thinks of Juan Soto. Like, good heavens, the level of respect, that's Bonzian.
I want all of you to continue to say and to ask and to think and to hope and to dream that good things can happen and that Juan Soto might come back. I get a couple of those tweets every night. Every night, though, you think Juan Soto could come back? And I don't have the heart to just laugh because I should send back an emoji. I think it's Jen Lawrence or something that I always see where she like spits out coffee. It's like a complete spit take. That's pretty much the emoji I should use when someone asks.
He'll come back and get a nice ovation as a visiting player right, for the team he signs to for 500 milli.
Do the learners have to pay him or is someone else going to pay them and then the Nats just get to use him? How does that work exactly?
Yes. Well,
we shouldn't say that. The learners might have us fired. We are the flagship station of the Washington Nationals.
Whoa!
That's a Jerry Jones joke. That's not a Nationals or learners joke.
No, I got you, buddy.
They're very reasonable, decent people who have never taken issue with anything we've said on the air that we know.
As far as we know.
Because they're not crazy people like Jerry Jones.
Ah, thank you. Like, I think they're, like, when people say, well, Juan Soto come back here, I think they're probably 25 or 26 cities that were like, we'd love to have Juan Soto that have no chance.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of money he's going to command is so patently absurd, it rules out 80% of the sport. At a minimum, like even the first phone call, they'll be chuckled, they'll be guffawed off the phone by Boris.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Around the NFL time on Grant and Danny. We will begin in Pittsburgh, where Russell Wilson continues to get first-team reps, splitting work at practice with Justin Fields. It appears, we don't know anything yet, but it appears like Mike Tomlin is going to make a quarterback change. The Steelers are 4-2. Fields has been okay, I'd say.
He's fieldsing.
But yeah, he's, you know, as a passer, it leaves a lot to be desired. As a playmaker, he gets you out of some bad situations with his legs. I think this is a mistake. I think you go to Russell Wilson. I don't have a huge problem with it because you're getting nothing out of George Pickens. They want the highest ceiling possible. Points come from the passing game. You see if Russell Wilson might be a fit, you might be able to make some music with him. But in the end, my guess is a month from now, 2 months from now, it's Fields again. They're a frisky playoff caliber team because he's running around like he was early in the season.
Yeah, that to me is the formula. That's who they are, is what they're doing right now. Excellent defense, led by defensive player of the year candidate every time he gets out of bed, TJ Watt. But the whole unit is really, really good. They'll make a play here or there on special teams. You're trying to muck up the game and have your quarterback make one play. That's really what we're talking about. He's got 5 rushing touchdowns, Fields does. He's got a couple of those jaw-dropping, holy cow, how did you pull that out of your Tookus-type highlight plays? That's what you sign up for, right? If you had somebody waiting in the wings that was just going to wheel and deal and sling it for 300 yards and 3 tutties a week, by all means, you go to him. They don't. They got broken Russell Wilson. I would not make this change.
One of the best deep threats in football is Rashid Shaheed of the New Orleans Saints. He wears number 22, which annoys me a lot because he's a wide receiver. Otherwise, I love him. But if he was 82, I would feel a lot differently about him. I would just be all in. Anyway, Shaheed is undergoing surgery on his meniscus. There is a chance he's going to be placed on injured reserve and miss at least 1 month. Danny, he's got catches of 70, 59, 25 yards this season. They run him on that deep post play action. They get one of those every couple of weeks from Derek Carr to him. Carr's hurt. Now he's hurt. Sounds like Taysom Hill may not be available for week 7 on Thursday night against the Broncos either. The Saints are a mess.
They are a mess. Remember when they scored 46 a game almost for the first 2 weeks of the year and were the story of the league? Not no mo. They are reeling.
Also, I didn't mention this. Chris Olave dealing with a concussion. He's already ruled out for week 7.
So I looked this up, and not to be flippant about it, because I was sort of doing shtick a second ago. He now has 4 concussions over the last 4-plus years. I think he's had one each of the last 3 seasons and had one back when he was in college as well. Kind of scary stuff all of a sudden, right? That hit he took was vicious. Got crunched between a couple of guys. Nobody's fault. Just a football play that happened, but he went down. And you could tell it wasn't, you know, hey, this is just something normal. He needs to come off the field. It was serious.
We went through that with Jordan Reed here.
Yeah.
Where every concussion feels like it is even more a problem because of the number that we know you've had and because it's not always the quickest heal afterwards either. That is scary.
Yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney, anybody know where he's playing right now? He is a hired gun every year. It's a different team.
Danny, I actually don't know.
Jadeveon Clowney, where is he playing? Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, last year was Baltimore. Yep. So it's not Baltimore.
No.
The NFL.
Name some teams.
Cardinals.
Think Commanders opponents.
They've already played Cleveland. The Giants.
You might have noticed him if they already played him. He's a big man.
Maybe he didn't do anything. Future opponents. Philadelphia. I already said the Giants. Pittsburgh. I already said that. They play so many teams. Cincinnati. No. Oh, my God.
Jadeveon Clowney. What team does he play for?
An NFL team. Jacksonville.
Nope.
Carolina.
There it is.
I knew it. Don't X that one.
Derek. He was just so used to it.
Yeah. You know?
They play them this week.
Said the same team like 6 times.
I thought that would be an easy exercise.
I thought so, too. I panicked right there.
Commanders opponents. This week, the first team that should come to mind is Carolina Panthers.
Oh, Carolina. Right.
He was limited in today's practice.
Very
with his
limited.
Shoulder. He missed week 6 last week. Shoulder injury. Being listed as doubtful and then did not play. Maybe they won't see him anyway, and you still won't know it. Team he's
still
playing
won't have seen him.
As of next week. What do you think about his career? Because people are so quick to dismiss him as this massive bust. Remember, he was this can't-miss, generational, Chase Young, you know, number 2 overall pick type guy. He's never had 10 sacks, so that's tough to argue that it was a decent career. But he's in year 11 now. He's played for everyone. Houston, Cleveland, Baltimore, Seattle, Tennessee, Carolina. He has had 9 or more sacks 4 times with, I think, 3 different teams. And he's pretty good against the run. He's a guy that gets a lot of attention. I think the truth's probably somewhere in the middle. He has had a very solid career. Maybe he didn't live up to the hype, but I don't think he gets enough credit for being a pretty serviceable player. He also, I don't know if people would guess this, he's made three Pro Bowls. He's just a victim to me of like crazy hype.
Yeah, the hype because he hit that running back in the backfield against Michigan that time. Like that's what happened. Is that play where he destroyed the ball carrier?
I know who that was, and I could be wrong. Was that Javid Best? And by the way, if it was, that's a hell of a pull.
I couldn't tell you. Someone's got to look that up for me.
I don't even know who Javid Best is. I don't even know why that name is coming.
I thought that guy played at Cal, Javid Best, and played for Detroit.
Yeah, Javid Best definitely. He was a running back that played for. Yeah, Danny's right on.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm conflicting two crazy plays with running backs. Javid Best is the guy Kevin Barnes hit at Maryland, uh-huh. And he made him throw up.
Yep.
That's why I'm thinking.
Yeah, but you know the play I'm talking about, right? Where Clowney burst through the line, totally. Whether it was unblocked or otherwise. As soon as the guy has the handoff flat-footed, Clowney knocked him into next week, picked up the fumble. It was a great play, but because of that, this is like, oh my God, the game wrecker. And it was like his version of the LeVar leap, where everyone just assumed that every time the snap happened, LeVar would just jump over the line of scrimmage and sack the quarterback for minus 12. It doesn't really work that way. So the hype was outrageous. He was always just a regular good prospect. So I would say by that stretch, it's a disappointing career overall. But he's been fine. I mean, he's going to end up with probably 60 sacks over the course of his football life. That's not terrible.
No, it's not.
But it's not what we thought.
Top two pick.
Yeah.
Right at the top of the board. I'm going to read you a headline. I want you to respond to this. Around the NFL, we go on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Saquon Barkley is making his return to New York with the Eagles this weekend. Should be a fun little storyline.
Yeah, it's going to be neat.
Eagles-Giants. Barkley said he does not expect to get booed by Giants fans on Sunday.
He shouldn't.
Says the guy who boos Bryce Harper still.
Well, didn't they say, we're not going to spend money to sign you?
Yeah, kind of like what the Nationals did.
And then they offered him. Did Barkley ever go, what does that do for my family with their offer?
He literally went to Philly after his team said no, and he signed in the division. And Nats fans still hate Bryce Harper for it.
Yeah. But I can't remember what Barkley said about, like, what does that do for my family? I don't know if he ever said that or not. I think it was just Bryce did that.
That's what it did, that one little line. That's the one.
That's not little. It's pretty big. But I would say, yeah. Maybe he does. I mean, I'm trying to think about it now, some logistics.
He went to the Eagles.
Yeah, but it was the Giants clearly weren't interested in meeting the price, and I guess maybe he didn't call them back enough or something. I don't know. Do you think they will?
I mean, he said he wanted to be there. They said they couldn't meet that price, and then they called him on the phone. As you know, we got to hear the conversation on Hard Knocks. He didn't even know he was on the phone, which I still feel kind of dirty about.
A little
about
weird
that.
About, right.
I think he'll get booed for the same reason that Bryce gets booed. You play for the Eagles now, man. That is the arch rival of the New York Giants. It's a division foe. It's, you know, them, the Cowboys, and the old Redskins. I don't know where the Commanders fit into any of that with the Giants at this point. I'd have to ask a Giants fan, but yeah, I when you're at a division rival a year after you were my guy, and now you're their guy.
Running all over me?
I think you get booed.
Well, there'll be boos when he's running successfully against the Giants. Like when he catches a little screen and goes for 35, someone's going to boo. Are you booing the Giants or booing Barkley? Yes, all of it.
Last one here. Antonio Pierce was talking with Raiders media today about the Davante Adams trade. He said, next man up, we're moving on. Davante Adams was one of the guys that like almost forced their hand into hiring Antonio Pierce. I don't know if you remember this.
I do, yeah.
But him and Max Crosby led the Let's Name Pierce the Interim guy last year. And then supposedly this offseason, there were reports that those guys were demanding basically that Pierce got the job. Adams is already gone. Crosby was shoving an assistant this week, an unbelievable player, but I don't know how long for that org he is at this point. Maybe he'll be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you don't let players hire your coach. I'm sorry. It's a mess in Vegas, and I just, for every guy you get wrong, and I missed on a guy in Dan Campbell that I thought was just a meathead who's not, for every like former player who we're going to go hat on a hat, Antonio Pierce is like falling into a lot of those traps. You know, we're going to run the ball. We're going to not ever go for fourth downs in plus territory. We're going to have these quarterback competitions where the veteran starts over the guy with the upside. There's nothing about that situation I feel good about right now.
No, they are a mess. That's the way to put it. And, there's a degree of the previous guy, why am I blanking on his name? Former OC for the Patriots that was the head coach there.
Josh
McGannis, yes, who should never get a job again. But that guy stinks. And so you're right to revolt against the guy that stinks. But then you go, we want the dude that we all love. Well, maybe you shouldn't love him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could respect your head coach. You could want to play for the guy, but it shouldn't be your buddy. And there's this weird contrast there where you have to kind of draw the line between, you know, human being that relates to people well and is also an authoritarian in the exact right mix. And it doesn't seem like the right mix is happening in Vegas. And again, this offseason, I wasn't quite sure what their plan was as it is. And isn't it weird they're not good?
I don't think that's a you problem.
Yeah.
That seems like maybe their plan wasn't very obvious.
There's that too.
The double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We will be giving away tickets to see the Capitals, who got a big win, played one of their best games in the last calendar year last night as they blew out a really good Vegas team. But let's do that double play thing next right here on The Fan.
Your chance to win Washington Capitals tickets 13 minutes from right now on Grant and Danny when we do the Beltway Blitz. But every day, right around now, 3:45, sometimes 46, sometimes 44 if we get out on time. A little something called called the double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I'm going to do mine first. This is not the newest of news, you guys. But I saw this. It's new to me. Does that make sense? Like, other people in the know have known about this for a while. I just found out about it, and I can't stop thinking about it. So every science fiction movie, every, you know, inner space, fantasy movie, every novel, every whatever, has always distinguished itself from our world by using some sort of laser, right? Like, everyone's got laser guns. It tells you that it's not our world. Right, it's a way for projectiles to be fired, and one side's green, one side's red. You know who's good, who's bad, everything in between. Lasers, right? Nothing more sounds more futuristic than lasers. The military is using lasers. And you're like, Danny, of course, they're laser-designating targets. They're laser-guided things. No. They're shooting stuff out of the sky with lasers. From a couple different articles, but I found this one via military.com. There are $500 million lasers that are now being deployed, undisclosed locations around the world. I'm not trying to give anything away. Where they're like, there's this one thing that we're trying to shoot down. We're going to use the laser. Not the laser to say, okay, that's where you go, missile. But the laser is powerful enough to shoot the thing out of the sky. The reason I bring this up, number one, is the future. Oh, my God.
Can I ask, are you surprised by that?
Yes. Here's why. Multiple reasons. The laser was it's almost like a trope. For, it's to the point, remember, like in Austin Powers, where Dr. Evil's like, we're going to use a laser. And it just, because it's something you lampoon. It's not real world stuff.
25 years ago.
Well, yeah. But that's my point.
Austin Powers came out.
Well, of course. But like, this is the most, like, all it is just light that's like concentrated, kind of like refracting and doing some sort of nonsense I can't explain.
But we've been able to go out on a ship off of the coast of Hawaii in 1998. And, shoot a pumpkin down hundreds of miles away. Like, lasers aren't that far from that.
They are. I don't know how to describe this. It's shooting energy that's strong enough to blow something up, different than a projectile. I get that you could shoot a concussive missile or a bomb or something big and tough with explosive ordnance on it. Yeah, that sounded very military. I use words like ordnance. I know what I'm talking about. A laser is just shooting energy at something and it's strong enough. Like, it's not like you're shooting it from, like a Death Star, where it's like a whole mobile planet that's gathering all the energy you could focus into a beam that blows something up. This is like a handheld deal where some guys that go over his shoulder going, yep, all right, let me take this thing out with a laser gun. Here's the other reason why I'm very into this.
Okay.
I will never, every science teacher I ever had, with the exception of like life science teacher, like biology, they were like, that's not my department. Why are you bothering with that? Physics, kind of like applied science, everything. I always asked, like, will there ever be lasers powerful enough to like blow stuff up? Because I love Star Wars and I love, I used to watch Buck Rogers and all these other kind of sci-fi things. And the answer was always, no, it's impossible. The amount of energy you need to generate a laser that could actually hurt something is nothing. I'll shoot your laser right now. You got laser pointers. You get kicked out of an arena because it's bothering someone shooting free throws. That's what a laser is. And now it's strong enough to destroy things. Holy crap. That's what I got for you.
Okay. I am more surprised that we have cars that drive themselves than lasers that shoot things down. Myself.
Okay.
I think yours, you have a fascination with it based on your Star Wars time, it seems like. I don't know. To me, the difference between decades ago, we got missiles that can touch something the size of a basketball thousands of miles away. We're probably going to figure the laser thing out sooner rather than later. So I don't know. It doesn't move the needle for me that much to know that that tech's out there. I think it's cool. I mean, you think about some of the stuff that's being done. Like, a lot of these things that we always think, we see these James Bond movies or what's the movies I love? Mission Impossible. And they're using some of this insane technology, right? Where you're like, this doesn't even exist.
Like, is that Tom Cruise or somebody else using a mask?
Not only does all of it probably exist, but the amount of stuff we don't know is insane. I mean, there's just invisible domes protecting lands, you know, that are impenetrable. The amount of stuff that countries are capable of, I can't even wrap my head around some of the stuff that we do. I guarantee it. That if you had the access and you can open up the book, you'd be like, we're doing this right now? This is pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
So I guess I would have just, to me, lasers that could shoot stuff down was like minus 50,000.
That's unbelievable to me.
Really?
Again, yeah, because again, a laser is just light.
I get it, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're also acting like a laser pointer that my buddy Steve had in fourth grade is what's shooting things down.
Well, that's the extent of what we could do with lasers until I read this. Like
you might have missed a couple steps.
Well, the laser's this fantasy weapon. It's like not a real thing. Whereas, like, you know, I could, since my whole life there's been sonar, there's been radar. And I go, okay, eventually objects could have radar. I get that. Right? We could shrink it down. It's military applications for subs to be able to see whales and other ships. So it's like one ping only, Shelley, please, from Hunt for Red October.
Speaking
I got
of that.
Yeah.
That technology, you want to talk about something I can't understand.
Uh-huh.
That's sonar.
Sonar.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Under the water, but it's three different, like, triangulated pings.
It's so silly.
Way more impressive than a laser.
Erroneous.
I mean, just
erroneous.
It's
erroneous.
Unbelievable. A fish finder. Way more impressive than a laser.
Bung. All it's doing is shooting sound. That's all it does. It shoots a bung out into the water.
Is shooting light.
It just shoots light, then it can destroy something.
Yes.
You just say yes, like it's fine. Like,
of course.
That light, right? Go outside right now. Are you gonna explode with the light?
So easy.
It's easy.
It's easy to shoot a laser.
It's not. Bung. And then the sound comes back and it's like, that took 10 seconds, so therefore the thing is 700 yards away. That's a terrible calculation by me, but you know what I mean. Like, and they can figure stuff out.
Beltway Blitz next on Grant and Danny.
Laser.
We will talk about the Caps' big win. We will get you the latest on the Commanders, and we will check in on the Wiz as they get closer to starting their season. They got a couple of kids who have been playing well this preseason. Plus, this coming hour, John Allen out for the year. Is that a setback or is that a devastating blow? We'll chop that up on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.